Good evening and welcome to the Rissington Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Rissington Podcast, episode 5. My name is John Hicks and this is my colleague, John Oxton.
Hello.
Hello. Before we go into the question-y bit, I've got a bit of housekeeping to do. Did you mind if I plug the Hoover in?
Yeah, well, as long as I can do the polishing of my thong again, I'm happy.
Hey! Maybe we should rename this Dad Humour Podcast or something.
Well, you often talk to about your children with your thongs, but hold on, I'll do that again. You can edit that bit out.
No.
Do you often talk to your children about your thong?
Yeah. Well, they ask me to sing them quite a lot.
Anyway,
back to the housekeeping.
So,
we've had a lot of requests for a feed for the MP3. So, for those of you who want an MP3, there is now an MP3 feed. All you have to do is go to the rissingtonpodcast.co.uk/feedmemp3/.
And I definitely think you should edit some clapping over that bit.
Fantastic. Both Linux users are now cheering. Their heads off.
Well, actually, this edition, we have to say these last couple of episodes, we're kind of rushing through things because we're both very, very busy at the moment. So.
Yes. Some people have picked up on the fact that they're not as frequent as they first were.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean we don't want to do them.
No. And we are going back to a more spontaneous way of doing it as well. We haven't read any of the questions we're about to do.
Yeah.
Thank God for the edit.
The questions is the core bit of the show, innit?
I'd say it's the only bit of the show.
Well, you know, we'll sometimes have an RAF joke, but when the squadron leader's in town, that kind of thing. So, should we go straight into the questions?
Yes.
Question time?
Who's going first?
Excellent. Well, I'll read the question and you have to answer it. Okay. We have a question from Jamie Knight, who says, why does Alan Rowe refer to himself as not the Mayor of Tame? Well, because I think it's a
political thing, isn't it? It's like, yeah. Gordon Brown. No, I've got no plans to become Prime Minister.
No.
Now look at him.
Exactly. I think that's the best analogy I could have thought. Yes, of course Alan Rowe wants to be Mayor of Tame. For those of you who don't know Alan Rowe.
If only for the bling, I reckon.
Yeah. I can see him zooming out his mayoral duties in his lotus.
In his bling.
Hello, peasants.
What up with that?
Yes, I'm going to open a supermarket and shit. So, can we just quickly explain who Alan Rowe is?
No, I think he pimps his bloody business enough as it is.
Oh, okay. Well, basically, he runs things in Tame,
yeah.
But he doesn't run things ultimately, and he hasn't got the mayor job, so...
But he's working on it.
Yeah. Well, we are too. I think we're going to start a campaign for...
Alan Rowe for mayor.
Mayor of Tame. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Bring micro formats to the people of Tame. You what?
Micro floor mats. It's going to take ages to lay those.
I've got a little rug. No, unfortunately, Tame isn't quite West Country, but, you know.
Well, it's the only accent we know.
It is. Apart from this one and shit.
Do a New York one. Hello. I'm from New York.
Yes. Hello. Are you from deepest Africa? I've got a trifle. He also says licks.
I think
is that what the young people say today?
Yeah, I'll give you licks and shit.
Yes. Actually, can I just say that's another thing that's just, you know, a little bit annoying. Armstrong and Miller.
They've ruined us, basically.
They've stolen our act, haven't they?
And done it much better.
I mean, so I think we just nick their act back again.
Yeah, well, we nick everybody else's joke, yeah. So why not?
So. Bastards and their RAF banter. Right, okay, so.
Help me out with this. Kimi Guada?
You're in your own, mate.
Kimi Guada. I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong. But it is an interesting question, actually.
Okay.
I know that Mr. Hicks has used fireworks to make comps. I love fireworks and can think of no better tool for web design. Well. Both Photoshop and Illustrator seem clunky and limited in comparison. However, I find that when I mention my preference, most people react as though I have told them I used MS Paint or finger paints.
Yeah.
Why does firework continue to be the ugly duckling of web design? Regards... Kimi. To make things easier, pronounce like Kenny but with an M. So, Kemi. There we go. And you can skip my last name. Well, I had a go. So that's from Kemi.
Pronounce that Kenny, but as in David.
Yeah, as in Peter. Anyway.
Okay.
Back to the question. Fireworks. Yeah. Well, we both use fireworks.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because you said that, like, Illustrator is clunky. I mean, I agree. I think Photoshop's a bit clunky. But I actually think that Illustrator has got a really good feature in that you can set up a consistent style for, like, headings or paragraphs or whatever, and then that can be applied to a whole document. So, like, you know, in Fireworks or Photoshop, when you're doing a big web comp, you know, lots and lots of pages, and you decide actually that the heading 2 style that you've created is a little bit too big,
you can change that,
and you've got to go back. You know, Illustrator at least means that you can go back and change that with one click. Yeah. You know,
I mean, the only equivalent really in Fireworks would be symbols, but that's quite limited still, isn't it?
It's a shame because Fireworks got everything else going for it.
Fireworks is great. I've always used Fireworks. Although, I think we both tend, we're more tending to the way this whole agile software development means that you just tend to build and iterate. So, I don't know about you, but I've started doing sort of design in HTML and CSS to a certain extent.
Yeah, yeah.
And just building components in Fireworks.
I think anything where I've got a lot of text... build it straight away in HTML and CSS.
Because that renders it best.
Yeah. You spend all your time in things like Fireworks trying to make the text look like web text.
You might as well just do it.
And then you've got a... If you keep your sort of markup fairly sort of simple, then you've got something that you can use, you know, as a final version. Just keep on building and building on it until you refine it, until you've got the final version. Mm. It's... You know, I've been working on an interface recently where it just made the most sense.
Yeah.
It's also the fact that in things like Fireworks, you can't show how things move.
Mm.
Like if you've got a fluid layout or it's
dependent
on window sizes, it's...
Click-throughs as well, it's just so much easier to build click-throughs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was steering away slightly. Fireworks is a good application.
Mm.
As for it being the ugly duckling in web design, I've not really heard that. Most of the people we know...
I've certainly heard people say that kind of like... wouldn't even thought of using Fireworks.
Mm.
But I think...
It's the underdog, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think it's quite telling that Adobe kept it going. Because there was worry that it would be ditched, wasn't there?
It is. So. And they are working on the next version.
Yeah, so...
Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
So that's good.
Or you should have said that. But what do you think is the key reason for using Fireworks?
Well, for me, I have to admit, it's because it's the first thing I picked up when I was like, I'm going to become a web designer, mate. I've got my copy of Word. And I've always used it, and I've never found any reason to stray away.
Mm.
I can imagine if I was more of an illustrator type, then maybe... I can imagine if you're an illustrator coming to web design, then maybe you do come from that.
Yeah.
Or why use Fireworks.
Yeah.
But it is a tool designed for designering websites.
Yeah, designering. Well, I think the fact that... I mean, it always used to do this thing where you can have frames, which originally was used for animated GIFs, but then...
And that's pages instead.
Yeah. So you start off with frames, and you could have... all your different pages on different frames, all in one file, and then export it to separate files.
Yep.
And then they introduced pages in the last version, where you can now have different pages which have different sizes.
Yes.
For each page.
But you can still have a master page as well if you want to.
So then they have like frames within those pages as well.
Mm.
So especially if you're doing icons as well, I use that a lot.
I think generally, yes, Fireworks is the underdog, and it shouldn't be. It is very good at its job.
Yeah.
It does a very good job.
I think if it only had a nice way of handling type, like maybe even with like a CSS file, I don't know. I'd say that and then I think, well, you know, just do it straight in the HTML and CSS.
One thing I've seen Andy Clark do many years ago was generate some type in a browser and then take a screenshot and cut it out and put it in the comp, which is quite a good idea.
Yeah.
Because then you get the render you want.
Yeah.
But it's still going to be like, well, but it doesn't look like that on my Windows machine.
Yeah, and then when you think, oh, I've got to make that column wider or smaller, then you've got to take another bloody screenshot.
But if you're sure, then that's one way of doing it.
But yeah, I mean, if you haven't tried Fireworks...
Try it now.
Give it a bloody good go.
I think the length of our answer it shows our
enthusiasm for the product. Ah, dear Jim.
Is that Ben Ward?
Yeah.
Now, this is Ben Ward, Oxford, Crouching Badger Ben Ward, not Ben Ward, Yahoo Ben Ward.
I know. But it says, Jim, hello, Rissoles. Can you make my logo Christmassier? Thank you. The answer is no, Ben. We cannot. We cannot do that.
Apply holly.
Yeah, apply holly. How would you make a logo Christmasier?
Oh, I think I'd put a bit of snow on the top of it and leave it at that. Or maybe put a snowman next to it. You can hold it. Or maybe drape it around a scantily clad Father Christmas type character, who is actually a woman, not a father. Moving on.
Yes, you're going to choose a question?
Yes. I'm going to go into the starred box and pick something from earlier on. Oh. Now then, here's one from a young man called Simon Collison. I'm sorry. I would like to know when Mr. Oxton's much-anticipated Fuck Work Pub Tours Around the Cotswold book, we'll have to put a link to that, will be available to purchase. I purchased his fine Fuck CSS some years ago and find it invaluable, informative and incredibly witty. If you fail to answer my question in your next podcast, I will phone you anonymously and make Stucker noises. Now.
Stuka.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
Bloody no, you geeks.
Well, you know, it's all to do with, like, German planes, isn't it?
Well, actually, this was sent on September the 16th. Mr. Colley, has already sent us the Stucker noise, so maybe we can include that in the edit. So, that wasn't a great pick, but there we go.
Great one. But, as the answer to the question, when it's coming out, the problem with this one is... the research is hampering the actual writing.
It is. We've got a lot of pubs to get through before I can actually... Yeah. And what you find is after a couple of ales, you don't much feel like writing.
And we've also forgotten what it was like, so we have to go back and do it again.
Now, maybe I should take my laptop. Take my laptop and make notes.
This is from Asher Albertson. That's a fantastic first name.
It is cool. I bet...
Go on, you go say it.
I bet he or she gets called Ash.
Oh, right, I know. I thought you were going to say something else then.
What were you... No, you go say it now.
I bet he's got a brimful.
Moving swiftly on.
Gentle Johns, I think my conundrum falls into the life guru shades of your expertise spectrum. I say.
Fucking hell. Far too many words.
Long words and
shit. Can you help would have been alright, yeah, wouldn't it?
Here goes. I've recently noticed on various commercial bottles containing liquids... I hate that word, liquids. Actually, no, it's fluids. Liquids. Shampoo, lotion, etc. That an E follows volume measurements. It caught my eye because, one, it always seems to follow metric volumes, and two, the mark is typographically consistent no matter what the surrounding typefaces or faces. Do you know what?
I haven't got a fucking clue.
I haven't got a fucking clue, but... We'll have a look. And I know what you mean. I've seen this E that keeps coming up.
Maybe it's for Europe.
I think what I'll do, okay, I'll go and research it, and then I'll edit in my answer later on, okay? So I'm going to leave a space here now for putting that answer in.
I can't let you do that. I can't have you making yourself look more intelligent.
I'm going to find out what it is.
Yeah, but I don't care. That's an abuse of the edit.
Okay, well, it's your choice.
Midlife crisis or starting in the biz. Is that the oldest biz in the world, or is that the biz as in web design, mate?
What, the web design biz?
Anyway, Robert Bartlett.
Mm-hmm.
Messrs. Oxton and Hicks and the panel... I am in the middle of a life crisis as opposed to a midlife crisis. This sort of thing happens to people who are much older than me. I'm in a job I hate, sounds familiar, in a company that is about to go down the gurgler, and I'm looking for not only a new job, but maybe a new direction. A friend has come to me with a proposal that intrigues me. He has a small web development company and is currently the only employee. And rather than getting a senior developer to work with him at great cost, he is looking to employ a junior developer to look after the simple stuff in the administration.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I come in. I would need to start with the basics and learn HTML, XML, SQL for a start, then on to ColdFusion, ASP, PS, PCP, and more acronyms that I'll get wrong. Fucking hell, I don't know what half of those are. If I haven't already gotten what I have written correct so far. Blah, 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 blah. So what's he asking us?
Yeah.
I'm asking where and what you think would be a good place to start. Tell me of your experiences, old boys, and what you would do if you were starting in the business now. I'm not going to read the rest because it kind of goes off.
Yeah. What can I ask, what date was that?
That was October the 23rd.
Oh, well, it's not, so too, it's long not ago. Too long so ago. So you might still be hanging on waiting for our answer about the job.
Yes.
Although by the time the actual podcast comes out,
it'll probably be February.
Yes, so. Exactly. Yeah. So what do you reckon?
It's one of those questions that get lots of questions. The normal one I get is, I'm about to go to university, what course should I take?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I haven't got a clue.
I never went.
I didn't do the university. You know.
It's so difficult to know. If somebody's given him an opportunity to be a trainee and learn some skills on site,
yeah,
then that's great. But I think you have to be cautious, because is there any time allocated for him to actually learn, or is he just going to end up hacking through everything? And
yeah.
So my first job as a web designer, I got by just turning up at the place and saying, give us a job, and did it for free for a little while.
Yeah.
And then they got me to be project manager after a few months and paid me, then went bust and didn't pay me. But I was warned by the other employees not to go there. Start. And I said, I know exactly what I want from this job, and what I want is experience in dealing with customers who are talking about websites. So I knew exactly what I wanted from the role, so it didn't really matter about the rest. So I think as long as he knows exactly what he wants from the role and what he's going to get out of it, and make sure he gets out of it what he wants, then friend or not, go for it.
And I tend to think that even bad experience is good experience.
I can definitely agree with that. I've had many bad experiences, you know, and they all strengthen you up, I think.
Yeah.
What don't kill you makes you stronger.
Oh, is that stronger? No, I think
what would you say?
I don't have anything to add to that. I think that's fantastic. I think if he's giving you an opportunity, take it. If it's shit, leave.
Yeah. As long as he knows what he wants out of it.
Yeah,
that's the
exactly.
key. That is the key. Yeah, what you want.
But
I would be
very try and steer it if you can towards things that are going to help in the future. Like, you know, learning Cold Fusion, I don't think is going to stand you in good stead.
It sounds very. But he admits by it that he's not really sure.
Yeah.
But I think when I first started, I don't know about you, but I was like, right, I'm going to learn PHP, I'm going to learn Flash, I'm going to learn HTML. Actually, I wasn't interested in HTML at that time. I'm going to learn this, that, and then I realised as time went on that there's back and front. And some people are good at the back and some people are good at the front, mate. But there's very few, very, very few people who are good at both ends.
Yes. So Sean Inman, I can think of at the top of my head, is one bastard who's...
Bastard. I don't know him, but bastard to him anyway. But specialise as well. Specialise. Okay.
Okay. So, shall I get a question for you? This is a quick one, actually. Any of us can answer this one. Michael Latham says, where the hell is my hash key on the shiny new iMac wireless keyboard? I'm sick of copying, pasting when writing CSS.
This is a classic answer, isn't it?
Goodness
me. It's a classic problem.
Burn this into your heads. Alt 3.
I have to say, though, come on, Apple. Give us a fucking hash key. All we want. You give us beauty. Yes. You give us functionality. You give us stability.
Now,
give us a fucking hash key.
It's obviously a Windows problem, isn't it? Where was the hash key on a Windows keyboard?
I couldn't tell you, but there was one present. And it was a little while. It was probably one of the first questions I asked you, wasn't it? Dear Mr. X, my name is John Oxton. Can you tell me where the hash key is, please?
And yeah. It's never been an issue for me. It's always been option 3.
Yeah, well, you're a long-term Mac user.
Yeah.
You've been there since...
I don't know if it's because, you know how outside the colonies they call hash pound?
Yes, maybe it's...
And on our keyboard, the pound is on the 3.
Yes, it is. But I don't... I can't reference...
The real pound.
I have got an American keyboard somewhere. But I don't know that... It might have done, actually. It did have the pound of where the pound was. This was from David Bell. Good afternoon. Good start. Good morning. Good evening and thank you. Being a fellow lover of cheese, my current favourite is the delightful something or other. Usaro.
Usaro.
I was wondering what biscuit you enjoy with your favourite nibble.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Arse biscuit. And the theme of today's podcast is...
Arse biscuit.
Yes. Yeah. Well, for me, generally, it's what you call it. It's a Hovis digestive.
Oh, yeah.
Digestives.
Really? Yeah. For a while, I've not been into crackers. Quite like water biscuits. I can really thin and crispy. But I've just found recently, a supermarket selling these era American flatbreads. and they come with sesame seeds on them, mm-hmm. and they're gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And that is my favourite tipple.
I don't know. I see nothing. Nice strong Roquefort cheese and a bit of a digestive. It's that contrast of strong and sweet. I think it just works for me. It's nice.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm afraid cheese doesn't rank. It does, but not. It's not an obsession for me.
Yeah.
I've got quite simple cheese tastes.
So yeah, saying that you like the sweet with the cheese.
Mm.
Do you like fruitcake and cheese?
I tell you what, I do like. Going back, I like
look at those big bottom, right?
I like a nice big bottom to squeeze. Look at that. I like cheese and jam, actually. Cheese and jam sandwiches. Lovely. Cheese and cheddar. Cheesy, cheddary, jammy sandwich.
What kind of jam?
Cheese and cheddar. Well, you see, it's got to be jam with no bits in. So strawberry or seeds are okay, but Esther makes this plum jam and it's got like fucking plums in it. It's like, take those away.
So it's got to be a jam with no fruit in it.
Yes, basically, just a sugar.
Yeah. It reminds me of the time that, you know, those sugar shakers you get that deliver one spoonful of sugar. I'd never seen one before. And I was in the north in a chip shop. I thought, hang on. It's a bit of a huge salt shaker, but
it is up north.
I go, yeah, exactly. So they play a special, you know, like a petrol pump for putting the vinegar on. But I just slashed this all over my chips, and it was an interesting flavour.
Lovely caramelised,
not
chips.
An unpleasant one.
Oh. So, chips. Well, so it's probably like McDonald's chips. Oh, we could probably get sued for that.
Oh, bugger!
Right,
our ass
thank
is
you, David Bell.
Oh, can I ask this one?
Mm.
Christmas question.
Oh, is that from M275?
It is.
Now I'm aware of this, who I believe to be young lady.
Oh, is that a young lady?
I think so. I may have got that very wrong, and if so,
but it says it's an M.
Yes, it's an M, not an R.
She'd put an R. R 275.
I might be completely wrong, in which case I apologise. But I think it's a young lady who used to comment on Josh Rink quite a bit.
All right. So, can I just say a personal bugbear? People don't put the proper name.
Yes, I had a work inquiry from a Jedi Knight the other day. It took me a little while. How shall I reply to this? I ended up putting, "Dear Mr. Jedi."
Well, you know, he's asking you for a quote.
Yeah, he was.
Like, well, you should know.
Yeah. Let the force be with you. You know how much I'm going to charge.
Yes.
You want to pay more.
Yeah, come on, all this sort of like code and stuff.
Yes.
You've got a nice name, probably.
Yeah, it's probably Imelda.
Yes, we're already stick with the M75. Yeah, anyway. So, sorry, gone. What is your favourite Christmas... Oh, no, I've misread it. What is your favourite Christmas dessert? I thought it said...
Christmas desert. Well, no, I like the Sahara at Christmas.
Yes. Like a bit of sand. I thought it said, what is your favourite Christmas advert?
Well, let's go with that.
Okay.
I mean, Christmas desserts suck.
You know.
So, because they're all full of currants. So let's move on from that.
Do you like Christmas pudding?
No, I like setting it on fire. I'm watching it burn.
Or even the Christmas pudding starter. I do like Christmas cake.
Yeah, and I have to say, my mum makes extraordinarily good mince pies. Usually in the several dozen.
As far as I'm concerned, mince pies are the droppings from the devil's bottle.
Well, they may well be, but you haven't tried my mum's mince pies.
Okay,
she makes fine mince pies.
Fine.
And good Christmas cake too, but Christmas cake is not for me. Right, should we do one more?
And then I think we have one final question.
Is it my turn?
It is.
This one's from Martin Walker. Hi, chaps. A question from the ankles. How do you deal with the antipodes?
I'm sorry.
Question from the ankles. How do you deal with smelly feet? How do you deal with frustrating clients? Not just ones that annoy you every now and then, but the insane, illogical client that makes you change the work that absolutely makes absolutely sense no whatsoever.
Absolutely.
How do you deal with shit clients, basically? It's a common question.
Yeah.
Well, first, you try not to take on shit clients, and I think over time you get a sense of who the shit client's going to be. Though shit clients can get very complicated as you go climb up the ladder of clienting.
Well, the very obvious ones.
Yeah.
The people who email, I say, how much for a website?
Yeah.
And that's the whole email.
How much for interweb?
Yeah. Then you get the people who say, I would like a web 2.0 design on this one, please.
Mm-hmm.
Deleted.
We only do web 3.0 here.
Yes. Catch up.
I think probably one of the most important things you can do is make sure you've got a good paper trail. So you say, you said that.
Yeah.
And so that everything's clear, so they can't say...
Yeah. I mean, that's where contracts are really helpful.
I mean, yes.
It's difficult because I have to admit, I don't do every project with a contract. And it's always the ones I don't do a contract with that usually go
shit. It's really difficult, though, because some clients, you just get the feeling, it's nice and informal, we work on trust.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And it sometimes feels like putting a contract into their faces is a bit of a...
Yeah. You know, especially with the smaller clients, like what might be one man shows themselves, or we'll just have a gentleman's agreement that we will, and that includes the ladies.
Yeah, yes,
gentlemen's or ladies' agreement. Just have
all German shepherds.
Yeah,
it feels like a bit of a, you know, adding legalese to something that could have been a nice, friendly working relationship.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one to play, really.
Yeah,
but it's you know, and then doing things like, you know, making sure you get a deposit if you think it's going to be a
that's
project.
That's a really good bit of advice.
You know, that's another way of filtering out the people who are going to mess you around.
Yeah, because if they don't want to pay a deposit, then there is no project.
Mm.
So, if there's a logical point, I have sacked clients in the past.
Mm.
That's the correct terminology.
Yeah, now I'm on the verge of doing that. So can you give me advice on how you sack your clients?
Well, as pleasantly as possible, I think, is the way to do it. The last time I did it, I didn't do it very pleasantly at all.
Mm.
And you kind of burn a bridge. As it happens, I'm not unhappy about burning that bridge.
Yes, yeah.
But I think if you can do it quite pleasantly... I've parted with other clients very amicably, and we've gone out for dinner since, and it's like, well, that was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But try and fulfil your commitments, but no more.
Yeah.
Give the client a bit of notice, and make sure you get your cash.
I think that's what I'm doing at the moment. Yeah. I'm fulfilling my commitment. I want to see the job finished.
Yeah.
But it's certainly not going to give me any reward financially or...
on the portfolio.
Emotionally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but trying to stay polite.
Mm, definitely.
But firm.
Remain professional.
Yeah.
And, you know, just proceed to the finish.
And I think I always try and see it from the client's point of view in that... You know, if I was hiring someone to do this, how would I want them to respond?
Yeah.
But I think kind of being honest and saying, look, this isn't working out. We're not a good fit.
Yeah.
You know,
let's get this finished, but let's agree that maybe we're not going to do this again. But
yes.
Yeah.
Never darken my door again.
And, you know, if you need to go outside and punch a tree, off you go.
Yeah. I think it's,
I've done it both ways, and I definitely recommend the polite, professional way as opposed to the, excuse me, but fuck you.
Because then it doesn't leave a bitter taste in either of your mouths.
You end up spending your time going, I'm really not going to wind myself up about this, but then you're looking at you, bastards. Mm. So
and I think when they give you like really amazingly stupid demands,
say no.
Well, yeah,
no, don't say no, say yes, but that's going to cost you. Now that's worked a treat for me. Fine, but that's going to cost you another $5,000.
Well, the way I always approach it is that, you know, if they ask for something very stupid, I'll tell them why.
Yeah.
I won't say, you can't do this. I will say, well, if you want to do that, you have to be aware that it will cause this problem or that problem.
Yeah.
The final decision is theirs, whether they want to do that or not, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if they go with it, fine. But at least then when they come back and say, oh, but it's doing this, and you think,
but look at that email I sent you 3 weeks ago. I fucking told you.
Exactly. You can just go, ha-ha.
The reality of business is it is a real balance of setting your ego aside a little bit and saying, well, I know, I've explained to you my feelings on this, but if you've got a different call, fine.
From Mr. Simon Clayson, who...
Hold on a minute. Simon fucking Clayson?
Simon Pissing Clayson.
Didn't I rub my testicles all over his chair the other day?
You did rub your testicles,
right,
yes.
Don't start that again.
Nope, we'll all go in. Yeah, so from Simon Clayson.
Office sharing dude.
Yes, our newest, what do we call him?
Ho? Bitch?
Our newest
whatever.
Bitch.
Whatever comes to mind, I just...
The new person in our office who isn't called John.
Yeah.
Does the panel asked to get to do much free pitching? And if so, do they tell them to fuck off? Look, you can say this, you've got the explicit tag.
Bitch, yes. Yeah.
which someone wrote to tell us, did you know that you got an explicit tag?
And somebody else wrote to tell us, did you know I don't like your swearing?
Yes. So, yes, we put the explicit tag there.
To warn people, they may be swearing.
Yes. Well, free pitching. Absolutely no.
Absolutely not a chance in hell.
Yeah. It's.
Oh, hold on. Now then, we should clarify here.
Mm-hmm.
Is he saying free pitching or free, there was a design? There's pitching where you go to a client and go, yes, we'd like to do this for you.
Oh, yeah. I think what he means is that thing of when you're pitching for a job.
Do some designs. And
you're doing some designs.
Oh, definitely not.
Okay. One, it devalues your profession. Two, how on earth are you going to be able to do anything meaningful for a free pitch in the time?
And with
without, no. you know, when you do a design for a website, especially, there's a lot of consultation that happens before.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do a lot of research.
Yep.
And you have to do a lot of talking with the client. So how, you know, you can come up with something that would be useful for them in their decision as a free in a free pitch time.
No.
I mean, it's like, you know, if you wanted to get a new cabinet made, what you would do, you would look at the previous work that cabinet maker's done.
Mm.
You wouldn't say to him, you know, just do us a, you know...
Just do us a little free draw number.
Yeah. And, you know, then we'll decide whether we want to use it or not.
Yes.
And, you know, there's also the fact that a lot of people... There is also the problem that people do take these free designs and use them.
Yes.
Because they are moral-less bastards.
They said in unison.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things that are wrong with free pitching. And I know... Recently, and I was talking to Simon, there was, quite a big name client, certainly a client that I would like to work for, who was asking for a free pitch design.
Mm.
I think this was simply to get on their books. It wasn't actually for a particular job. It was just to be on their supplier list.
Yeah.
And
no.
It shows a lack of respect, and it's not the way to...
No,
to find if the person's right.
It's a good way to start off a bad relationship.
Absolutely.
There is that sort of the whole pitching thing though, trying to get business.
Mm.
And do you do free pitching? Now, I've spent days and days pitching before to try and win a project, and then nothing comes out of it, and that's
the end
of it. So that's a really difficult one, that one.
So. I must admit, I probably only do about one or two pitches a year.
Mm.
Because they're usually a waste of time.
Mm.
They're usually kind of done in a blanket fashion.
Mm.
You know, they've picked six names out of the hat
and
sent
it all
to them. It's a lot of waste of time. I would like to work with someone who has already made the decision that they've looked at the work. They'd probably, you know, want to have a meeting and just discuss it and use that to find out whether I'd be the right match.
Mm.
But...
Yeah, I mean, like you, I haven't done it often. It's not something I do on a regular basis. But
it's not good. And to be honest, like, remember this year I had a project which was kind of intimated to me that, well, you know, we're just going through the motions, but you're definitely going to get it.
Mm.
And the reasons the pitch failed went completely against the original brief.
Mm.
Certainly the brief was full of some very bizarre shit. Like all that stuff about... The homepage must not scroll, you know. And, you know,
this book, I don't want it to flip.
Yeah. I don't want to have to turn pages.
I want it to be a great story. Oh, one page, one big fucking page that doesn't flip.
So, you know, oh, goodness me. So, as well as doing the pitch, you're also writing up various things like, well, this isn't a good idea because, and this is why that isn't a problem.
So it's almost like a consultation.
I mean, I'm not sure if they've heeded any of that advice.
Is it a project you're not doing now?
Or, it's a project I'm not doing. So, yes. So, I, regardless of free, I tend not to pitch.
Okay.
I'd like to work with people who want to work with me.
I want to do one more, just because I think we've had some downers.
Okay.
Let's do something.
Something upper.
Let's do an upper. Let's have a quick.
What are side joblings? Do you want to do the side jobling one?
Where is it?
It's.
Is it unread?
In stars.
It's in stars.
And it's quite near the bottom and above Gary Bristow.
Ah, okay, right. Here's one from Simon Jobling, who I believe is One Fat DJ.
Ah, right, yeah.
Just dancey dance stuff. And he also works at that place.
Techno
of,
shit.
Place of much web design Yahoo.
Oh, right, yeah.
I believe. Mr. Yeah. Jobling, this one's from a while ago, actually, but it's a timeless classic. Right, all I want to know is the answer to this all-important question. Star Wars or Lord of the Rings?
Easy. Star Wars.
You see, it's easy for me too. I'm really not that emotional about either. I like both, but I don't have... I'm just not a proper geek. I'm sorry.
Lord of the Rings is too long.
Lord of the Rings is a great, great story, though.
It's a big plodding story of...
Yeah, but it's fantastic.
You know...
They're both fantastic. And, you know, Jar Jar Binks, come on. You've got to lose some points for that.
Oh, yeah. The thing is, Jar Jar Binks is erased from my memory. Mm. For me, he doesn't exist in the Star Wars universe.
Oh, but he does. I mean, he helps kickstart the whole thing by being, instead of the Queen, they got Jar Jar Binks and they manipulate him. They go, look into my eyes, not around the eyes. See, Jar Jar Binks.
Cruising for a bruising.
Bastard, he is. Bastard. It's all his fault. Anyway.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings, I mean, goodness me, if I wanted to... Oh, yeah, you know, Lord of the Rings is all right.
I think from it's... a sort of a fuzzy feeling sort of point of view, Star Wars is from my childhood and blah, blah, blah.
And it's exciting.
It's exciting.
Whereas Lord of the Rings has a little exciting bit every now and then and lots of walking.
Yes. We're going to Mordor.
Yes. At least cider festival. Yeah. So, easy one, that one.
Okay, so...
I think we're going to wrap that one up now.
So, that's the end of the questions.
Hooray!
I think that's probably the end of the podcast, too, given the nature of our... whatever. We don't have much time.
Yes. So, thank you very much. And if we see you before Christmas, then great.
And if we don't, have a happy, happy time.
Happy, happy.
Goodbye.
The Rissington Podcast is devised and hosted by John Oxton and John Hicks, with contributions from squadron leader John Dennis. The show is hosted and sponsored, and shit, by the splendid boffins at Segment Publishing. That's segpub.net for you internet chabbies. Hurrah!
Biscuit.
Biscuit. Barky.
I was thinking Arse Biscuit.
Arse Biscuit. Have you got any packet of those?
No, I've eaten them all. Right, let's go forward.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes. Dear panel, I know that Mr. Hicks has used fireworks to make comps. And I have. He's not the only fucking designer here. Sorry. Dear panel...
So where you like the sorry, I'm pestered by a client is trying to ring me.
We're busy, goddammit, we're podcasting.
Yeah.
You want to give me money? Fuck off.
Right, let's turn this bugger off. Shut down.